Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Hamul Casino, San Diego's closest casino. Real close, real friendly, real fun. Happy Thursday, Padres fans. It's time for the super polished, yet to be named Smart Baseball Weekly segment with Eno Saris, powered by 7 Mile Casino, San Diego's premier card room featuring California blackjack, poker, and baccarat. Just 7 minutes from downtown.
Yes!
Here's Ben and Woods on the home of the Padres, 97.3 The Fan.
Well, it's been quite a week for the Padres since the last time we spoke with Eno Saris. They went through a five-game losing streak. They didn't score for 26 straight innings. Then they've broken out for 20 runs the last two games, including 13 yesterday against the San Francisco Giants.
Indeed.
And we got Eno on our Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline right now. Good morning, Eno.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, it's been an up and down week, huh?
It has. I mean, we ended on a positive note, and we're going to do the typical sports radio talking head thing where we say, look, it took them a few days to get used to each other. Now they're all coming together. They're gelling. We can expect this every single game. We all know baseball doesn't work that way. Wouldn't surprise me at all if some no-namer tomorrow night shuts us down for 5, 6, 7 innings, because that's just unfortunately the nature of this dumb game. It's not football. It's not basketball, where the greatest talent always wins. Baseball is certainly a weird duck in that respect.
Yeah, the Dodgers are good. It's unfortunate.
They're really good.
It's a fact. Yeah, they're really good. I think that the very best on the Padres can go toe-to-toe with them. I think they can have a better series than they did. I think that there was something interesting to me. Sean Manaea yesterday did not have the best game. But I was looking underneath the hood, and his changeup has completely altered its movement in the last two or three starts. Now, he's one of the guys who's lost the most. I have that stuff metric. He's one of the guys who's lost the most.
He was number one. He was number one on your list a couple of weeks ago about the guy that's lost the most stuff from the beginning of the season until I think it was July 28th when you put out the list, and he was number one on it.
Yeah, but I think over time, basically what had happened was his slider had gotten a little harder, and the changeup movement had gotten worse and worse. And so his stuff had kind of all just become kind of the same. And what he must have changed, and I think I've talked to him a fair amount up here in Oakland. I think he must have changed back to his old four-seam changeup grip, because he's added about 3 inches of drop. And he's throwing the changeup about 3 miles an hour harder over the last three games, and my stuff number loves it. So hopefully what we're seeing with Sean Manaea under the hood is a little bit of Ruben Niebla's magic. Maybe he's working hard to get Sean Manaea right again.
I will say there were a couple of looping liners in there, there was definitely some improvement.
Well, he looks, I said it to you in the text yesterday, Benny, he looks like a comfortable AB right now, whereas earlier in the season, he didn't. And I don't know, pitch mix and all that stuff, it would take a really, really deep dive under the hood. You know, and frankly, I don't have the time to do it, but he does look pretty comfortable. Guys do look pretty comfortable up there against him right now. And that could be as simple as just mixing it up a little bit more. You know, pitching backwards sometimes. If the stuff is getting better, wouldn't you expect him to just lean on those things that's working for him even more?
Yeah. And I think he has enough command of his pitches. I mean, I think even when he's going well, he's a guy who has three average, above average pitches. There's no real elite pitch in there. And the fastball doesn't have, you know, that great velocity or the standout movement. So he definitely is a guy who has to rely on pitchability. He's a guy who has to mix it up and, do the unexpected. So hopefully with this new changeup movement, he, you know, believes in it a little bit more, and then he starts throwing it in some fastball counts and mixing it up. So I know that number is depressing, and that he's had something like a 6 ERA, in the second half. But I think getting him right is pretty important, just for getting to the postseason, even if he's not one of the top two or three starters in the postseason.
Let me ask you about another Padres pitcher. Doesn't look like a comfortable AB, but the Giants certainly got to him a couple of nights ago, and that is closer Josh Hader. Who had a couple of rough outings. One of them was against the Giants also when he was with the Milwaukee Brewers. He thought maybe he was tipping. I can't argue he was tipping the other night because he was throwing too many balls. They weren't really hitting anything.
Yeah.
He just wasn't throwing strikes. And then I hear that, you know, on the back-to-back days that, you know, Brewers fans are going, oh, yeah, when he uses it on back-to-back days, he's never as good. What more can you kind of tell us about what we could probably expect from Josh Hader the rest of this year?
Oh, that's interesting. I hadn't heard that about back-to-back days. He does show up, along with my stuff number, I have a location number, and his location is poor and has been all year. So, I think that certain teams will take that approach. I talked to Adam Ottavino about this once. He said, you know, early in my career, I had such a great slider, and everyone said, you have to get to him early or else he's going to throw that slider and strike you out. And I love that because they were aggressive and they were swinging early, and I could get swings and misses. He said at some point everyone decided he can't throw a strike. You got to wait up there until he throws a strike. And he said that got a lot harder for me.
Yeah.
So I think some teams are going to take that approach where they stand up there and they say, I'm going to wait until you throw a strike before I start getting serious about swinging. So Hader just has to refine. One thing that I have noticed is his release point is the highest it's ever been. And he's a guy that relies on having like interesting movement from a lower release point.
Yeah.
He's kind of a guy who has surprisingly vertical movement from a very horizontal, almost sidearm release. And so, maybe he's losing deception. And the last thing is the Giants, more than almost anybody, are doing this thing called training dirty, which is you basically put the machine on so that it's Josh Hader, but you make it Josh Hader at 101, 102 miles an hour. And so basically before the game, you faced Josh Hader at 103 miles an hour. So when you step in against Josh Hader at 97, 98, 99, it looks a little bit easier even. Of all the teams, the Giants seem to have not necessarily his number, but like have done pretty well against Josh Hader. And I wonder if that kind of training has helped them kind of beat his deception, because he definitely does have a deception from that slot.
You know, it's funny because we had the same.
Either way, he's still good.
We had a discussion about Nabil Crismet. It looked like the Giants knew him better than other opponents have known him this year. They just looked like they saw everything better against him than other teams did. Woods, we were talking about that.
Yeah, I mean, if that's what they're doing, it makes you wonder why everybody doesn't try something to that effect.
More and more teams are.
Good.
You know, more and more teams are. I know Donnie Ecker went to the Rangers, I know they're doing it now. I just talked to Christian Walker of the Diamondbacks, and when I said training dirty, he was like, yep, you got to got to put the machine up to 104 before the game, and you're ready to go.
Sounds terrible. It sounds just awful. I mean, it just be embarrassing. They'd have to put it on.
Oh no, that's why it's called training dirty. It's not that it's a dirty pool or anything. It's that you fail, and
that's so weird.
It sucks. And
yeah,
it sucks to do. And you know, there are drills that they do now where they fail 85% of the time.
Wow.
And I said, that sounds awful. And they said, it is, but you know, why would I do something where I succeed 85% of the time and then go into the game where I fail 70% of the time?
Just your old general batting practice front toss. It's not really doing it for these guys. And it's interesting because Berdar came from the Giants as well. So you do wonder what kind of stuff the Padres are employing. And it looked like
I'm not saying they're not doing it.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not saying they're not doing it.
It looked like for a couple of weeks they weren't doing it, or for a week or so, they couldn't hit anything. There's nothing was happening. I want to ask you, too. We're talking to Eno Saris here on Ben and Woods this morning. It's been a really fun resurgence, second half resurgence again for Blake Snell. This is the second year in a row this has kind of happened. Started not great, and lately, you know, it would be tough to look at a three game playoff series not slot him in the one or the two. His stuff is filthy. What do you attribute this little run that he's been on? Is it a mental thing with Blake Snell?
Mental, you know, I think he also falls in love with his changeup and he can't command it so well.
Yeah.
Both seasons we saw he started the year throwing the changeup. He thinks it's a really great pitch. He just can't command it. Gets him into bad counts, gets him into counts where he's predictable. Both seasons we've seen as the season's gone on, he's thrown the slider more. Like, I think even, you know, there's even more he could go almost 50-50 fastball slider. I think the best news this year is that the curve is in good shape, and that just means that he's not going to be just a fully fastball slider guy. I think late last year, that's sort of where he was at, but the curveball looks like an above-average pitch and a third look for him. And so if he can just, I think, pocket the changeup most days, he'll be a really good pitcher.
What?
He still doesn't, you know, he's still not necessarily a guy that goes long. So I think I would slot him in somewhere where you have a rest day after, because you're going to probably use most of your bullpen. But yeah, absolutely. Would I want Blake Snell for like 4 or 5 innings in the playoffs? Yes.
Yeah, no question. It's weird because you look at these lines sometimes with Blake Snell and it's 4 2/3 with 9 Ks and, you know, what he strikes so many guys out. But like you said, he seems to be pitching from behind a lot, but he's got such good stuff. But it does drive that pitch count up and up and up. And I know it's a frustrating watch for fans, but, you know, I wonder, how does your stuff plus, you know, work with him? Is he up there?
Yeah, he definitely the slider is a legit pitch among the top sort of 30 sliders in the league, which doesn't sound that great, except it includes a lot of relievers. You know?
Yeah, good point.
So if you limit it to starters, it's more like a sort of a top 15, top 20 type slider. The fastball has really good shape. It has good ride to it. And then, you know, there's an interesting thing going on. You know, when you I was just looking at this. There's research that says that 80 pitches into a start, a pitcher starts losing his command. And that stuff actually lasts a little bit longer than command. And so 80 pitches is a really interesting number, because if you look around the league, the Rays, you know, they're like a 78 pitch per start team. You know, the Giants are exactly at 80. You know, there's the Dodgers are at 82 or something. You know, it's like all these like progressive teams are circling in around 80 pitches per start.
Interesting.
And I think that for Snell, the stuff is high, the command is low, and so, you know, around 80 pitches, you start getting nervous. And it's not because his stuff is any worse. You look at him, you're like, the velo's still there. It's just that something will leak over the middle, and he'll give up a homer, you know, in the sixth inning or something. We've seen that a fair amount from Snell. And I think that's why the Rays took him out early in playoff starts, and I think that's probably the best usage for him in the playoffs this year.
Talking to Eno Saris from The Athletic, our weekly Smart Baseball segment. Eno, there's 7 teams in the National League, at least 10 games above .500. No one else is even at .500, so clearly we know what the playoff race looks like. One team's not making it. How do you kind of foresee this playing out over the final month and a half of the season?
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting finish. I mean, right now, the Padres playoff odds are at 86%, and the Brewers are at 64%, and the Phillies are at 80%. So those are the teams behind the Braves, that two of them make it. So the numbers are saying that the Brewers will fall out, or the loser of the NL Central will not make the playoffs. But they're pretty good teams, the Cardinals and Brewers. And the Phillies are on a heck of a run. I think I'm pretty sure the Padres are better than the Phillies. I say pretty sure because the Phillies just have obvious flaws. Their defense, and Bryce Harper is going to come back as a DH. They're going to have maybe three DHs on the field.
Yeah.
Or two DHs
Schwarber,
on the field.
Schwarber, Castellanos, they're at the top of just terrible defense.
Yeah, and releasing Didi Gregorius and putting in Bryson Stott at shortstop is going to help a little, but Segura's an older second baseman, so they're not amazing up the middle, and they just brought Brandon Marchand from the Angels because of center field defense. But he's been playing left field all year. I think he's a good center fielder. But what I'm saying is they have that obvious, and then their bullpen is good, but it's a really low command bullpen. And that's one of those things where they can get on a streak and look untouchable, but they can also go on a streak and look like they can't find the play. So those two flaws to me, when you run the numbers and you do the projections, you're like, oh no, they're such a good hitting team and they have good pitching and they're going to be fine. But defense and bullpen, that's a way to lose one or two huge games. That's a way to get on a bad run. And so I just see more flaws in the Phillies than I do with the Padres. And the Brewers are a decent team. They're really good pitching, but they're not that good at hitting. So unless somebody kind of, gets going offensively for them, and Christian Yelich is not who he used to be, then I think that the Brewers are not as good as the Padres either. So, I comfortably have the Padres ahead of them, but those are all good teams, and one of them's not going to make it.
Eno, we're out of time, but great stuff as always. We'll talk to you again next week. Have a good one. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
There he is, Eno Saris, on our Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.